This is Scotty Bowman. I'm calling the Chicago Blackhawks front office meeting to order. Will everyone in attendance please say your name?
Stan Bowman, Dad, it's just us two.
Dag nabbit, Stan, what have I told you about speaking until spoken to? Now you hush up over there in the corner.
Yes,
sir. Shut up. You play with that puzzle. Listen to Daddy.
Wee.
All right, now. We've executed our off-season plan, Operation Ripdown Cup winner. We've traded away Versteeg and Bufflin and many other critical players. And now, in order to get under the cap, we're going to have to continue selling furniture. And we're also going to have to start firing staff. And I'm also going to attempt to lose some weight to get under the cap.
Dad, there's a piece of paper coming out of the microwave.
Stan, dagnabbit, I've told you many times that is a fax machine. Now read, Papa, what it says.
It says the San Jose Sharks want to sign Nicholas Hjalmarsson to 4 years, $14 million.
Son of a blue jean biscuit. That Doug Wilson, that traitor, that former Blackhawk is going to sign one of my restricted free agents? Oh, I don't think so. Pass that paper over here to Daddy.
Here you go.
All right, I'm going to sign it. We're matching this offer sheet. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do, son. This is what we're going to do. We're going to call up Doug Wilson. We're going to make an offer sheet of our own to one of their top restricted free agents.
You mean Derek Jocelyn?
That's right, son. I thought you were going to say something stupid. But that's right. Draw up the offer sheet now, Stan. We're going to offer Jocelyn 7 years, $49 million. And when they are forced to match, we're going to put those San Jose Sharks into salary cap hell.
Dad?
Coming to you on some serious tape delay via podcast near you from that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California. It's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 107. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, the drama has been played out, and it ended a lot sooner than I think we all thought.
Mm-hmm.
After our special update on Friday, Hjalmarsson signed to an offer sheet, and on Monday, Hjalmarsson re-signs with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Right. Chicago Blackhawks match the offer, San Jose retains their draft picks, and Doug Wilson moves forward trying to poach or find another defenseman to get. So we'll be talking about what other defensemen might be in Doug Wilson's sights today on the podcast. There's some more free agent news, and we'll be talking a little bit about what the Sharks' potential roster is looking like at the moment. So
can't forget about the signing of Jay Leach.
That's right. We can't forget about that.
You can't.
No, really can't. But Hjalmarsson, I know I said 50-50, which was actually me kind of just punting, I guess, on the chances. But we're in retrospect, we're not really that surprised that Hjalmarsson was retained by Chicago, are we?
Well, I think my initial reaction when I heard the news was that I thought, wow, they're just not going to be able to afford this. You know, mm-hmm. Doug Wilson just sort of appropriately priced them out. We had been hearing that they were trying to sign him at for about 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 3.5 for right now in his career. I mean, the guy only has, you know, 80 regular season NHL games or something under his belt. Maybe that's obviously a bit of a push. I mean, we're seeing a player like Johnny Boychuk, who, you know, maybe is a little bit similar and maybe not as good shutdown-wise, but maybe even an all-around better prospect,
mm-hmm.
get half that money. So if Boychuk had been on the Blackhawks, he'd be the one who'd be cashing in right now, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I like the player. It would have been nice to add him to the team, but first and third round pick was going to be a high price, dude.
Quite a bit, plus the money. But keep in mind, we're talking late 20s round pick. And if you could trade the 26th pick for Hjalmarsson at this moment,
yeah,
in his career, you'd
probably
do it.
You absolutely would. And so what it tells us is that, again, completely off the radar,
mm-hmm.
Nobody had this pegged that Sharks were going to go for Hjalmarsson. So the next move should, I guess, be something as completely unexpected.
Yes, it could be. it could be anything at this point. I guess the Sharks have never really been that predictable. Certainly none of the major moves the Sharks have pulled in the last 5 years have been super predictable. There's been some rumors about Heatley and so forth, but...
But the other two major moves, Boyle and Thornton, those came completely out of left field.
Speaking of Boyle, I'm going to jump into a quick NHL topic. It sounds like I hear the name Dan Boyle spun around when talking now about Mark Savard in Boston. They might threaten to waive Mark Savard because they want him off the team. They want his money off the contract. That's a crazy rumor. And
didn't they just re-sign him?
They just did.
In the middle of last year?
But that's what they did to Dan Boyle too, remember?
It's the same, but that's different. At least it was a different
ownership group.
This is, I mean, right? It's the same ownership, same GM.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they're regretting. It's only a $4 million a year cap hit, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
For a player like Savard, I mean, even though he has some injury issues, you would think they'd be able to move that deal. I mean, centers are a top line center like that, a guy who can produce 80 to 90 points.
Yeah. I don't know why you would jettison a guy like that. Maybe they're just that enamored with Tyler Seguin.
Maybe, and you know, they've been looking to upgrade their D, and you know, they really haven't done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got rid of Weidman,
right?
They kept Seidenberg, so they have some holes there on D. I mean, the natural trading partner, really. I mean, you're looking at Toronto,
yeah.
And Calgary. I still think that Cabernet for Savard has legs.
I think so too. You know, let's talk about Cabernet when it comes to the Sharks, because unfortunately I was reading a blogger who shall not be named on a site that you have boycotted, and the rumor is Sharks in the water for Thomas Cabernet. You know, it's the standard, you know, pumping up the excitement. Do you really think, I mean, Cabernet is a top flight defenseman. The Sharks need a top flight defenseman. So maybe at the surface, it appears to be a good fit, but is it really?
It doesn't fit the so-called ghost roster.
That's true.
That, you know, we're looking at the type of player that Doug Wilson was looking to acquire here. Hjalmarsson and Cabernet are not the same at all.
No.
You know, you're looking at Hjalmarsson, who's a shutdown defenseman. Last year played on the second pairing. You know, Wilson, I think, believes he could be a top pairing shutdown defenseman, and he's going to get you 20, 25 points, whereas Cabernet is a Dan Boyle type player.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, unless you're going to counter that by bringing in another player,
yeah.
You know, it just doesn't seem on the surface to be a good fit, dude. Don't you agree?
I agree, and that's a lot of money, and the Sharks don't have a huge amount of cash to play around with here. Cabernet is looking at $4.5 million, and while we would like a number two, and Cabernet certainly is that at least, and will probably be a number one on a lot of teams, it looks like more and more, especially after the Hjalmarsson offer sheet, it doesn't look like this is the kind of player that Doug Wilson is going to be targeting.
No, I think he's looking to replace Blake, and I think we were hypothesizing that maybe Vallin was the guy who they were going to slot up into Blake's spot, but I think that's clearly no.
Yeah, I hope not.
And maybe that will be what ends up happening, but he seems to be indicating that he's going to keep fishing here, and like we've said last week, there's many moves yet to come, I think, with the San Jose Sharks roster, and Doug Wilson has moved on now to plan B or, you know, plan C, whatever the Hjalmarsson move was. You know, if Ham Hughes was plan A, then maybe Hjalmarsson was plan B, and now we've got an idea of kind of the money he's willing to spend and the assets that he's got out there available.
Well, we know
those picks.
We know what plan C isn't, and David Pollock put that rumor to rest, and that's then going after Antti Niemi, because Antti Niemi is scheduled for a big raise as well. There's no way they can pay both Hjalmarsson and Niemi. They would have to trade basically the rest of the team to make that happen. So some people were saying, oh, Doug Wilson is twiddling his mustache and giggling because now he's going to be, now that he forced the Blackhawks to sign Hjalmarsson, he can now go and poach the goaltender. But David Pollock said in the Mercury News that's not the case. And that doesn't really make sense with the Antero Ninomaki signing, right? Why would you sign a backup goalie for $2 million and then go after another relatively unproven goaltender to take the number one spot when the Sharks, as we've said so many times, I'm getting sick of hearing my own voice say it, Sharks have so many good goaltenders in the system.
Right. It doesn't make sense. I don't think that that was the intention. I think that it was a two-part strategy here. One, Wilson wanted the player.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a sort of vengeful, spiteful GM who's going to go out there and make this move just to screw the Blackhawks. I think the benefit to them re-signing Hjalmarsson is that it does force them now mm-hmm. to maybe lose their Stanley Cup winning goaltender and to go with Huwe, or you know, it could be the major evil here where now they end up with Turco on a 1-year deal for
right.
$2 million, and we know how excited we'd be to see him, you know, again. He always yeah. seems to just murder us, but it does put Chicago in a bad spot, but they've got good people running that team, and I don't think that, as much as we enjoyed mocking them at the beginning of the show, you know, the Bowmans inherited this situation, which mm-hmm. was sort of Dale Talon's masterpiece slash mess,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and now they're sort of picking up the pieces of what was an awesome run, but now the reality set in, and they've got to rebuild a little bit.
Right. It worked out for them in that they won the cup this year, but the fact of the matter was is they really only had 1 year to do it, and it worked out for them, and a couple of things going the other way, or a guy getting injured at the wrong time, it may not have happened, and the Blackhawks could be the target of much derision, I think, by Chicago fans. Luckily, it did work out for them, and it is much to their credit. But now you're right. They're in quite the mess of pain. So let's talk about another guy that we heard tied mostly to Detroit so far, but there's been a little sprinkling of idea, and plus, this is right up Doug Wilson alley, and that is Mike Modano. Is Mike Modano even on the horizon in terms of signing as a San Jose Shark?
Oh, I think so.
You think so?
You know, and I'm not that excited about it, to be honest with you. I gotta say that, you know, there's been some tweaking to the Sharks formula this offseason that remains to be a mystery in its result, right? I mean, a different mm-hmm. direction with the goaltending, making a very bold move with an offer sheet. And so Wilson, in the last couple years, when his team he felt could contend for a Stanley Cup, has had this Modano-type player on the roster, whether it be JR, whether it's Claude Lemieux, whether it's Rob Blake. He's had these guys around. And this year, that guy isn't that sort of hockey icon in the dressing room.
Maybe not in the dressing room, but certainly one of the best two or three American players of all time.
Sure. But I'm saying that player's not on the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
So does Modano fit that bill? Yes.
Right.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I put it at 50-50, dude.
Yeah.
I think it's very possible. And if you look at Modano's options, going back to Minnesota would be a nice maybe bow on the present of his career, but he's not going to win anything there. If he really wants to win, he's got two options.
Yeah, and well, I mean, the rumor, I've seen it time and again, it's either Detroit or nothing, Detroit or retirement, so, you know, I don't really have a lot of, I'm going to go under 50% on Modano coming here, maybe a lot under, maybe like 15%.
It really does depend on what the next move is in terms of, you know, if the Sharks, by acquiring this number two defenseman, which I still stand by, that's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
are they going to be forced to trade one of their top six forwards, either Seto or Klo, to make that happen? And if they are, and Couture moves up, then Modano might be brought in to center that third line, dude.
That's true. Yeah, I guess I could see that happening as an outside. I don't know. It just doesn't seem that like, I mean, Modano was a third line player for Dallas, and Dallas didn't make the playoffs. So do we really want to see Modano on the third line for a team that really should be a high seed in the playoffs?
No.
I don't.
There's better options out there. They might be more expensive, but, you know, Doug Wilson might be sort of waiting out the market. I'd rather see, I mean, it sounds funny because we were making fun of him 2 years ago, but there's a player like Brendan Morrison still out there.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good year last year for the Washington Capitals.
He did.
You know, could he fill in a third line role rather nicely in San Jose? Probably. You know, and he might be this year's Malhotra. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Sharks are picking the scrap heap at the end of this
mm-hmm.
and finding a Malhotra type signing, where somebody who didn't find a team who's way better than their price point ends up on San Jose.
Right, and they have to start taking near the league minimum because there's just not a place for them in most cities. So.
It's a good selling point. You say, hey, look what we did for Malhotra.
Mm-hmm.
He raised his value to the highest it's ever been being with us. So you give us 1 year at a bargain rate, and we're going to be able to rise your stock even more.
All right. Well, let's talk about another free agent that most assuredly is not coming to the Sharks, but is still the source of much offseason hand-wringing and conjecture, and that's Ilya Kovalchuk. Still hasn't made a decision. Is he going to get his own hour-long special on ESPN, and he's going to end up choosing the CHL or something?
Did you watch that LeBron stuff?
He's going to go to the River Kings?
You didn't watch it, did you?
Of course not. Why would I watch that?
I didn't watch it either. Surprisingly, I bet you're surprised.
I'm a little surprised, yeah. Dude. I thought you might watch it.
I didn't watch it.
If the Warriors were in the running, you would have watched it.
Probably.
Yeah.
So I'm sick and twisted. Dude.
So LA, latest news, he's in LA. So we said the Kings all along. We're sticking with it, aren't we?
That's not the latest news, dude.
What's the latest?
You hear the latest news?
What's the latest?
Here, let me tell you.
Why don't you tell me?
All right. I've got a little Kovalchuk act that I did at the San Jose Improv last night. Why don't you check it out?
Okay, here we go.
Hi, thanks a lot. Dudes on Hockey Night here at the San Jose Improv. It's really great to be here. You see, people say that I make bad decisions in my love life. I know. And I hate to admit it, but I just got back together with my ex-girlfriend. I know. So my parents hired Jay Feaster to handle my dating life. They should have hired Stan Bowman because you know he definitely would have broken it up. Oh. Hey, did you hear the one about Kovalchuk coming to the Sharks? What is with this Eklund guy? He's like the Bernie Madoff of hockey writers, right? Hey, I'll tell you what. If Kobe signs with the Sharks, then Mel Gibson stars in Fiddler on the Roof. Am I right? Too soon? How about that Lindsay Lohan? All right, I'm back on track. Thank you, dude. Thank you.
Little hot and cold there. You
seriously, how does Eklund come up with this stuff?
I don't. It's like it's a dartboard, dude.
What an insane rumor, dude. For the listeners who are holding on to hope that this might be true, that the rumor, as I read it, and I broke my hockey buzz.
Yeah,
like
fast.
I hadn't looked at it in months to look at this rumor because I got a few texts about it today, saying that Joe Thornton, who from credible sources has been rumored to be working on a contract extension,
right,
mind you,
mm-hmm,
would be traded in a separate deal in order to accommodate Kovalchuk in San Jose. What are the odds on this scenario happening, dude?
0.0. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just not. It's just not going to happen.
Well, what about Kobe to LA? What are the odds on that?
I think that's... at this point, I'm going to say better than even money. It's going to be either New Jersey or LA. And we picked LA at the beginning. I'm sticking with it. I still think Dean Lombardi had his sights on Kovalchuk. He had visions of getting other players in the offseason. None of those turned out. And now he's got his one last big fish, and that's Kovalchuk. And he's going to do whatever it takes to sign him. And he's pulling all this stuff in the media, right? Oh, we are no longer in the sweepstakes. You know, announcing to everybody, oh, we're back in the suite. Whoa, you know, clearly he's trying to apply pressure to Jay Grossman, who is Kovalchuk's agent, and trying to get him on the team. So I think he's going to be a lot more motivated than Lou Lamoriello. He is probably making a good deal at it, but he's not going to try and play this out in the media. I think Lombardi wants him badly and needs to put somebody, frankly, with Kopitar to take the Kings to the next level. Because if they get Kovalchuk, and they're definitely in the number two slot in the Pacific, and they'll probably be... giving the Sharks some really good games here, it's going to be tough. If Drew Doughty gets that much better, if Jack Johnson gets better, it's going to be a tough rivalry. We're going to see the beat LA thing coming back with a vengeance.
If you sort of read the tea leaves here, like if you're reading into the situation, if he wanted to go back to New Jersey, he would have done it already.
I think so.
like the offer has been there. It seems like a strong offer. It's a lot of money. I mean, the rumor was 17 years, $100 million.
Oh my God.
That, I don't care. Like, I mean, how it works out. That's crazy cash. Like, mm-hmm. you don't turn that down.
On a team that has been a winner, has been a great franchise for 15 years, in very capable hands of Lou Lamoriello, and you get almost literally a truck full of money, and you don't take it immediately, that means you're not really into it. That's what that means.
Yeah, not interested. He wants to go to LA. LA mm-hmm. knows it, so they're trying to get the price down, which is smart on Lombardi's part, because he doesn't want to mortgage the future of his entire team to make this happen. He's worked very hard to make this team competitive, built them through the draft, and now he's just going to rip it down for one player. That's not what he's going to do. Mm. That would be really surprising. But I think you're right, dude. I'm going to put it at 75% LA Kings.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with that. Well, dude, there's still another player on the Sharks. We mentioned Joe maybe in contract extensions. We should talk about that in a second. But first, we need to talk about a guy who's not signed at all, or rather got a qualifying offer, but is not really signed to a contract, and that's Devin Setoguchi.
Right.
This is sort of the big non-news of the offseason. I think Setoguchi and Pavelski were sort of bundled together as the restricted free agents that the Sharks need to sign. Well, Pavelski signed weeks ago. What's with the Seto thing?
I think he's the bait. I think that's the deal here,
yep.
You know, and teams that maybe are interested in Setoguchi don't want the Sharks to establish what they feel his value is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, on the other side of that, you look at Seto did not file for arbitration. The Sharks did not file. So Seto's really taken a leap of faith here with
sure.
the Sharks that, you know, they're going to do the right thing by him and sign him to a deal. And he's been outwardly upfront and said, I want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a matter of other teams saying, you know, we want to work out our own contract with him if we get him, or they might just be waiting to see who comes into the fold, and that will affect Seto's number.
Yeah, I think so. And you can look at 30 goals 2 years ago and say, well, that's great. But then you look at 19 goals last year and you say, So is this a guy that's going to be like Chichu that has to have a top flight centerman with him in order for him to actually have any sort of production? Or is this guy who's going to be able to create his own points? And I think the jury is still out on that. It's not that I don't like Seto. It's not that I don't think the Sharks should re-sign him. But you don't go and give him $4 million a year because he had 30 goals once,
right?
I mean, let's look at another guy with 30 goals four times who can't find a contract, and that's Alexander Frolov. You know, this is a guy that's not exactly, I don't think, burning up the phone lines with GMs trying to call him. I mean, you know, this is a problem. We don't really have a lot of legacy to go for here with Seto. So I guess that's true. Maybe it's just sort of a Ryan Clough situation. Maybe it's just the negotiation just taking a little longer than we expected. And there's nothing to see here.
The priority seems to be set, though. Like, the priority is getting that defenseman, and then the rest of the chips will fall. And it seems like everybody's waiting on the Covey thing, and then the Cabrelet thing will play out. And then, you know, Kovalchuk has totally stopped the marketplace.
Yes.
Nobody of any significance has signed. Everybody's waiting. There's probably a lot of balls in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And once Kovalchuk signs wherever he's going to sign, then we'll start to see everything else kind of play out. It's pretty ridiculous. I mean, let's go, dude.
Yeah, let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
Yeah. So let's look at the Sharks roster as it exists today. I don't know. We might have some different pieces here in the lower ranks, but Marlow, Joe, and Heatley on the top line. Assuming Seto resigns, that's sort of the question mark at the second line with Pavs and Close. That's the same top six. But then the third and the fourth line are going to be much different. Right now, I have the line that we've been sort of fantasizing about: Couture, Mitchell, and McGinn, which I think could be a lot of fun to watch. And then we have Scott Nickel back again. I'm hoping to see Frazier McLaren up with the big club, and I'm just taking a flyer and saying Andrew Desjardins, the guy from the Crazed Rats line from mm-hmm. the Worcester Sharks.
Right.
And that could be a really big pain in the ass to play against as a fourth line. So that's my top 12. You have anything different?
I've got the same players. You know, I didn't include Seto in mine because as of right now, I don't have him on the team. Like, mm-hmm. I think that I've said from the beginning, I think that he's the bait here, because if you trade Clough, unless they really think this Cam McIntyre guy,
right,
or they're now even much higher on Brandon Mashinter, who had a good year last year in Worcester, but is completely unproven on the NHL level. I mean, the Sharks would have no power forward.
Right.
You trade Klo. So unless there's another move to complement that, I don't see him being moved. But I agree. You know, I think McIntyre is in the mix here, or he's going to have to really blow it to not make the team.
What about Ben Ferriero? Ben Ferriero had a good year too.
Yeah, I mean, he's another one of those guys that, where does he fit in? You know, can you really have Ben Ferriero and Torrey Mitchell? Like, they're kind of the same, which
question.
Is why Torrey Mitchell's another guy. I'm not sure he's going to be a San Jose Shark when training camp opens. You know, he didn't have a good year last year. It was disappointing. Is he a center, undersized center? Is he a wing? You know, didn't really show a scoring touch. You know, who is this guy right now?
Right.
So on the D, I've got Boyle, Murray, Vlasic, Vallin, Demers, Leach, and Huskins. I imagine you've got the same.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same.
And a net, really surprising, Greiss and Nidimaki. So with all those players, dude, that's 21 guys that I've got and about $4.5 million left in cap space. That's without signing Setoguchi.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your full complement of players.
Right.
You're really missing, without Seto, you're missing a top six forward, and you're missing a defenseman from here. So where do they go from here, dude?
Well, we're still targeting defensemen, right? So, I mean, the two teams I'm looking at, the two top teams I'm looking at as possible partners in terms of finding a defenseman would be the New York Rangers and the Vancouver Canucks. So, obviously, the Canucks might have a problem because usually Western teams, trading with Western teams can be a little tricky. But the Rangers, they just signed Mark Giordano, Girardi, excuse me, who's good. But they got three other guys that the Sharks may want to target. Mark Stahl is unsigned. That could be another offer sheet target.
Mm-hmm.
We have Michael Delzato, who was a high first-round draft pick. And we have Matt Gilroy, famously signed from the college ranks after he won the Frozen Four. So that's three good young defensemen. I wouldn't mind to see the Sharks going after any one of those guys.
I think the one that fits the flavor profile of what the Sharks are looking for the best is Mark Stahl.
Absolutely.
That's the guy who, you know, I would imagine that Doug Wilson has been in contact with Glenn Sather over there. I'm laughing right now because outside of Mike's window, there is just a large explosion of bubbles.
Right.
I'm not sure what's going on down there, if there's some sort of children's party that Mike hasn't told me about that's happening in his backyard, but picture that visual image.
I have the bouncy castle down there, dude.
I think Mark Stahl is the guy that the Rangers have. Like, Gilroy is maybe not. I mean, you know, he got sent down last year. I mean, do we really need a project? We've got Demers, you know, and Delzato had a great first half and kind of fell off the map in the second half. So I like the player, but another sort of, we've got Demers for that puck moving role. Stahl's the guy. So do you just do the offer sheet? Why not?
Yeah, just give him the same one. You don't even, just make a photocopy.
Do you think Stahl's looking for more money?
Get the white out.
Do you think Stahl is going to get more money? Because he certainly has more of a track record, while not the playoff success, but he's got a better resume than Hjalmarsson.
Yeah. I might just, you know, just for paperwork's sake, I might just give him the same offer.
Just cross out Hjalmarsson's name and write Stahl.
Yeah.
And then fax it to the Rangers.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
That'd be funny.
Well, let's talk about Vancouver, too, because Bieksa could be on the move. Willie Mitchell has been, I know, talked about.
And he's a free agent, but that guy's one more hit away from going to the Eric Lindros home.
Yeah, I'd be really, really scared about that.
Concussion problems, right?
That's a major, major deal. He missed a lot of the season with a concussion problem, and he's not all the way back yet. So I think for the Sharks to expect a guy like Willie Mitchell to step in, that's just asking for trouble. I mean, if you need a depth defenseman and you say, okay, he's a number five or number six guy, and if he can step up and play the number four, number three role like he has in his career, then all the better. Well, that's one situation. The Sharks are not in that position. They need a number two or number three guy, stat, and you can't count on him.
Yeah, Mitchell, if healthy, would be a great candidate.
Absolutely.
But I think the Sharks are not in that position to take that risk as the roster sits right now. If there's moves made and he's agreed to sort of that Malhotra deal to be a guy who's willing to come in and prove his worth, and the Sharks have acquired somebody else in addition, then I say fine. But Willie Mitchell right now should not be on Doug Wilson's radar right now.
No.
I don't see him answering anything. Now, Kevin Bieksa is a player that I think we both like.
Yeah.
And has some offensive upside. He's tough. Is he the best defenseman in the league? No.
No.
And defensively, he has had some attention lapses. He's been accused of not having a great series against the Blackhawks in the conference semis last playoffs. So while adding Bieksa might be fun, you know, is he going to be the answer? I'm not sure. He certainly logs a lot of minutes, important minutes for Vancouver.
That's true. That's true. And I definitely like his physicality and all of that stuff with Bieksa. I would be pretty content with Bieksa. I think that would be as high as we could possibly hope for, to be honest with you.
Now, what about the Calgary Flames, who, as I joked earlier, now they've brought Jay Feaster in to be the assistant GM.
The man behind the curtain.
We all know who the Wizard of Oz is now, yeah, right?
Right.
After the total bonehead moves of Daryl Sutter, Jay Feaster's brought in to hopefully fix the mess. And we should have a little wager on how long before Sutter is canned.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to agree. Definitely by then, for sure. The Flames are stockpiled with D. I mean, they've got a ton of D. They've got D song to long-term contracts. You assume Bomeister is not on the table and Giordano is signed to a very favorable contract. He's not on the table. Robin Regier, rumored to be linked to the Boston Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
Is he actually available, you think?
I would hope. I don't think that would be smart of Calgary to trade him. I think that would be really stupid.
But that's exactly the type of guy who fits that role. Now,
yes,
he wouldn't be able to provide really the booming shot of Rob Blake. He wouldn't see much power play time.
Mm-mm.
But perhaps that would be a direction the Sharks could go. Here's a name that no one's really talking about right now that I want to throw out to you, dude. Someone we heard linked to the Sharks at the trade deadline, he got moved to Calgary. He's a restricted free agent. What about Ian White?
I like Ian White. And I think that we looked at Ian White pretty closely when that Phaneuf deal happened. And we both thought at the time of the trade, Ian White had actually had a better season than Phaneuf did at the moment. So let's keep in mind that Ian White has some upside. So I would love to see the Sharks target Ian White, because this is a guy that is not on the tip of anyone's tongue, might be had for not a lot of money when the contract time runs around, and maybe when trade time comes around. Ian White may be the odd man out because they still have Corey Sarich. So that's a pretty strong top four, and Ian White may be playing number 5 minutes, and he may not like it so much. And you put him on the Sharks, you know, instant number three or better for Ian White, as far as I'm concerned.
He doesn't see... I'm sorry. There's no room for him right now in terms of financially.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the room. They can't re-sign him. So this guy blocks shots. He's got, I think if I remember right, he has the potential to have a little bit of a mean streak. He is a little undersized, but he seems kind of like a gamer, like in the Dan Boyle profile.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And has the ability to wear multiple hats, play the kill, play the power play. He can score.
Where says
I would not count out Ian White as maybe being that guy who we haven't been thinking about as the player that might be under the radar. And honestly, the Flames don't have a lot of leverage, so you might be able to get him for a low price. Would you trade your first rounder for Ian White if you knew he'd sign?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. Straight up, sure.
Flames might do it.
I'm just throwing around first round picks now.
How about Doug Wilson clearly is.
Yes.
How about if you could choose between Staal or Bieksa, who'd you take?
I would take Bieksa. I think Bieksa is more proven, although the money would probably be worse, but I think Bieksa is the better player. Purely from that standpoint, I'd rather have him.
All right.
The end.
Enough said.
Yeah, enough said. Dude, do we have any other business for this week, or should we call it?
I think that we have had a successful podcast. We've somehow managed to do two mediocre bits.
and I want to thank all of you for still listening to us in the summer, because I know this is a tough time to be a hockey fan. We're in the middle of July. It's the doldrums of the year in terms of hockey. But we know there's people still commenting. There's people still posting on our Facebook page. I know there's people subscribing to our Twitter feed. I encourage you all to do all that stuff. And keep listening because, you know, we're not going anywhere. What else we got to do?
No, clearly nothing.
Yeah, clearly.
By this time next week, dude, will Kovalchuk be signed? Yes or no?
Yes.
Ooh.
I'm saying yes.
You're saying yes.
Yeah, he's run out of stalling tactics.
Okay. And by this time next week, will the Sharks have acquired or signed any other additional players?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. By this time next week, will there be have an announced date for the state of the Sharks, which has been belated but now promised?
I'm going to say yes on that.
All right. All well, right. Well done. Thanks, dude. Thanks. Great to see you.
Good to see you too, dude. And we will be back again next week, same time, same place. Thanks for listening to Dudes on Hockey.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.